conspiracies, endless wars, hidden forbidden history, the depopulation agenda, cryptozoology, mystical visions, hidden mysteries, advanced subterranean civilizations, flying saucers, alien abductions, and secret space programs, time travel, wellness, and healthy living. Where do you go to find out about these subjects and more? To James Bartley's Cosmic Switchboard Show. That's where. James Bartley will provide cutting-edge information and will interview the top investigators and researchers in a variety of fields. Listen in every week to the Cosmic Switchboard Show, hosted by James Bartley.
Hello, everybody. This is James Bartley. You're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. My very special guest today is Masaki Miyagawa. Masaki Miyagawa is a friend and a colleague of mine in the Los Angeles area. He's been deeply involved in what we could refer to as alternative news research, as well as research and teaching of holistic practices and teaching people about the efficacy of organite and teaching people about the importance of energy work. So I'm very excited about this show. It's a very solutions-oriented show. We are going to delve into certain areas and discuss things that are basically wrong in our society and wrong in our civilization, but we will also talk about solutions. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce my very special guest, Masaki Miyagawa. Masaki, how are you?
Hi, James. I'm glad to be here, and you're definitely one of the top in your field, so it's a great honor to be here tonight.
Well, the honor is all mine, Masaki. I see this as a series, you and I, doing these shows on a periodic basis, for me to tune into what's going on in your neck of the woods, the all-important Southern California, southwestern desert part of the world, as well as find out the different areas that you've been delving into. And you have, quite frankly, been delving into a lot of areas, and it's been an education for me just trying to keep up with you. So without any further ado, please, just tell us about Masaki Miyagawa. Tell us about your background and how this all started for you.
Okay, well, obviously, Masaki Miyagawa, very Japanese name, but I'm a three and a half generation American, Japanese American. But I have a very Japanese name because my mother's side are Buddhist priests for 400 years, and that's why they came to America to, you know, serve the Japanese American community. Both my parents were born in the concentration camp, the U.S. government concentration camps in World War II, unjustly. So that kind of also informed my mentality. You know, I very much appreciate the opportunities I was given here in the U.S., but I always kind of looked at things with a grain of salt, let's say, right? And also, I had a lot of health problems. And I think a lot of us, a lot of your listeners that are interested in the alternative research that maybe have had unusual experiences, the reason why we go deep is because we had to, you know, that we had to do our own healing. And although I personally find this area interesting in any case, to find my way back to heal myself, I had to focus on these areas which the average person probably wouldn't go that deep into, you know, such as, you know, what are the fundamental building blocks of life, of energy, how do these things work, what are the deeper levels that you go into, James. So that's really a little bit about my background, and I would say I've spent at least 10 to 15 years every day only thinking about, you know, our kind of topics.
And what were the types of topics that really compelled you to continue this research, and how, folding it back, so to speak, how did you find relevance in these topics insofar as how they affected you and how they affected our society in general?
Well, you know, I think it really started from my Buddhist background. I think that really informed my worldview. And the way that I kind of grew up, or my worldview, is maybe even different than the average, you know, Japanese national, because I'm a temple family, temple line, right? So this kind of aesthetic, or this kind of worldview, I will put it to you this way. My mother's side, they had a family name in the 1600s because they were samurai before they were priests. Okay. They had lost a big battle. Okay. And then they had to become priests. But most Japanese did not have a family name until like 1868 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So they were kind of low level, you know, nobility or something like that. So, but then when they turn to priests, you know, you're kind of like the scribes, right? So you're kind of, and they're the record keepers, they're the wisdom keepers. So looking over society, looking at the way things change over decades, hundreds of years, that kind of family line has a very different perspective than the average person. And because, you know, I have a grandfather that was a head priest at a temple, some of my uncles are priests, I've had contact with people from the Japanese imperial household, specifically the musicians, right? Both my parents were very much involved in music called gagaku, and the dance called bugaku, which actually comes from Central Asia. It came through China and Korea to Japan, only to be played for the nobility, right? But in our temple, we did have a group playing this kind of music, and we had a one of the imperial household, they have people that are the chefs, right? Generational chefs, generational musicians, right? Just this family, the family name was Togi. They could trace their family line back 2,000 years to the Qin Shi Huang, who was the first emperor of China. His brother had a court, and at a certain time, the musicians from his court, they said, oh, there's a job opening in Japan. Japan's opening an imperial household. You guys want to go? So these are only the musicians, James. And they know their family line. They can trace every generation back for 2,000 years. Those are only the people that work for the nobility. Okay, so so you can imagine the people that actually are the kings and so forth, they definitely have a different view of the world than the average person. So I didn't really think about it, but I did have a kind of different understanding from that. And then also, you know, Buddhism, it comes out of the Vedic sphere, or the so-called Indian, or now looking into it, maybe the Indo-Aryan, you know, Aryan Slavic sphere, because those are all interconnected. Very cosmical view. It is not so linear as the Abrahamic faiths, right?
Yes.
It's very cosmic in cycles and turnings, and, you know, you could say almost psychedelic, you know, that these cycles go on for millions upon billions of years. So as a child, I was absorbing all this, although not really thinking too much about it. But then later on, and I had a lot of health problems, and then having to go into the healing, and then listening to you talk, and Evie Lorgan and so many others, now I'm coming back to it, to all of these Buddhist and Vedic traditions that I grew up with. This is not invalidated, but now adding more onto it and maybe taking a look at it from a slightly different perspective, you know.
What you just told me, during the course of your studies, you must have realized that at some point this society that we live in, this greater Western civilization, if you will, there are some inherent problems with it. The tendency has always been towards more control, more centralized control, more oppression, and a limiting of more and more sovereign rights and sovereign dignity. So that kind of dovetailed with the study of the Buddhists and the importance of going within and getting an understanding of your greater surroundings, just by a recognition, not a tuning out of, which a lot of people that follow the kind of fallen, if you will, Eastern traditions, where they emphasize nothingness, they emphasize tuning out everything because it's Maya, it's all a delusion anyway. Did your background coming from this Buddhist family tree help you after a time to get an understanding of the kind of systems that we live under?
The Western system that we live under, you know, the especially the Anglo countries, they have this idea of progress, right? Especially related to technology. And this is sort of a Promethean, or you could say a light bringer, Luciferian concept, that all we need is a little more technology. All we need is some more, you know, genetic modification or artificial intelligence, and then we can have a utopia, right?
Yes.
Well, it really depends what you define as progress, because you take the Aboriginals in Australia. The reason why they live, you know, quote unquote, so simply is because they have already gone through what we've gone through right now. We're hitting the singularity point, so called, you know, where things are going to happen so quick, and these issues with the GMO and the artificial intelligence are going to explode, you know, in a microsecond, right? The Aboriginals already went through that, and they said, you know what? We know it's really important, and this is our culture. So really, what is progress? Because if you look at the society today, we have much more capability. You can even go on eBay and buy some basic parts for, you know, $100 and build yourself a frequency generator that could heal your body. Yet, it seems like the problems are even greater and greater, right? The real key thing, James, is to have all logic with no wisdom. That's very dangerous.
Yes, it is.
You know, that because from what I've heard, you know, listening to you and some of the other researchers on the whole ET subject, many of these ET races are highly intelligent and highly logical, but somehow they lost the spiritual connection. You know, that's why they're so-called fallen, right? And now they're trying to make us like them. You know, so I think we as human beings, although we are, you know, maybe we're illogical, we're highly emotional, you know, we do things because we have all these strong emotions, right? Which is also very psychic, it's interrelated. But we have something that they lack, and I think we really need to tap into our humanity. That's the real progress, not all this technological stuff, you know.
Yes, I would agree. And it goes back to who is defining progress, who is defining and establishing the parameters of what makes a just, what makes a worthy, what makes an advanced civilization. Too often, by the defining criteria of whoever these controllers are, we, the individuals, we lose something. We lose our sovereign dignity. We lose our sovereign rights. We lose our ability to critically analyze and critically think. And what's left on the platter is a form of groupthink, a form of hivethink. And that comes about, from my perspective, is a direct result of not doing the inner work that's required, not going in, not acknowledging the shadow. And instead of, like, regarding the shadow as an adversary, recognize the shadow as something intrinsic to us that needs to be acknowledged, needs to be recognized, needs to be loved, needs to be healed. When we get on that track and start to do the inner work, I believe that individually and society-wise, we begin to make a lot of progress and get to the point where we can be like the Aboriginals. The society only needs to be as as sophisticated or technologically advanced as it needs to be.
Well, you know what's interesting is the energy tools that I'm working with, I found that they're all interrelated, and the common denominator is this so-called scalar zero point, some people call it orgone energy. But in the human body, the strongest generator of this energy is in the heart center. Isn't that interesting? Just like the Egyptians,
yes.
The Egyptians, they didn't care too much about the brain, but they had, you know, they saved the heart. You know, they put it in a little jar for preservation. The heart center creates very strong scalar waves. So that's another indicator that it's really following your heart and knowing what's right and what's wrong. If you only go by logic, things may seem, logical on the surface, but when you go to your deeper wisdom understanding, that will truly inform you. And when you have the sacred masculine of that Cartesian logic combined with the sacred feminine of the wisdom, then you're really cracking, you know. But if you only go by one or the other, then it's unbalanced.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And while we're on the subject, could you explain to our listeners what scalar energy is, what orgone energy is, what, if any, difference there is between the two, or are they synonyms for the same thing, essentially?
Okay, well, this whole subject of the zero point and the scalar, it's been around for thousands of years. I believe the ancients were working with this, and Tesla was definitely working with these energies. Now, my understanding comes mainly from working hands-on with energy tools. And, people could go look this up online. That's where I've read a lot about scalar energy, but I compare it to my own hands-on experience. The reason I say this is because it is not accepted or not really taught in mainstream science. So, I speak this as, somewhat as a layman, but somebody that has worked for hundreds of hours with energy tools. So having said that, basically, all cultures have talked about this ether physics, this ether energy, like the Asian Chinese system, they talk about the chi, right? Japanese say ki, or a Vedic system, the prana, right? The Polynesians, they say mana, right? Everybody knew that beyond the physical 3D, there was some kind of energetic force that ran through everything. And in modern times, especially talking about the organite material in the organite pyramids, the organite energy tools, there was a man, Wilhelm Reich. He was an Austrian psychoanalyst, and he was in Freud circles, but he really was focusing in the pre-war years. He had moved to Germany, Nazi Germany. He was focusing on, this energetic component, which most of Western science had gone totally Cartesian. That's only what we can touch, like this 3D level. That's accepted, but energy is somewhat amorphous, especially when you're talking about this Wilhelm Reich, he called it the orgone energy, right? That is not Hertzian electromagnetic energy. The orgone or the zero point, it's like a precursor wave to the 3D, so it's very much harder to measure. And basically, the orgone, the zero point, Russians call it torsion field. It's this high spin state. It's a high energetic state, but it acts much differently than electromagnetic waves because it's very much interrelated with consciousness. It can transmit information. So it's like a consciousness wave, but there's also no distance dimension because it's a quantum wave. And if you cross two scalar waves, an electromagnetic wave will pop out.
Hmm.
So this is what Tesla was talking about, you know, transmission of energy without energy loss. And if you run two electromagnetic fields in opposition, they will cancel and create a scalar wave. Basically, the energy will disappear, and the more electromagnetic energy you pump into it, the stronger the scalar wave gets. But it's because it's that canceling. It goes basically to the ether level. And this is what ran like the Nazi bell, the counter-rotation of electromagnetic fields. So the reason that this is not really taught is because this is the source field. So if you have a mastery or frequency and resonance, you can do things like instant healing, you know, or let's say very rapid healing, you know, levitation, anti-gravity, non-local, you know, frequency kinds of things. Like basically you could target a person for healing by just having their frequency or a DNA sample. And it doesn't matter if they were on the moon or they were on the other side of the planet, they would receive your frequencies. And now this can be used for healing, but it can also, you just flip the dial and then you're, you know, hammering them with another kind of frequency. So very powerful kind of tool, technology. But, you know, they've been using this for years. And I think now many of us are starting to understand this is the common denominator, not only between all energy tools, but also our human spirit, the human body. And we can really start healing ourselves, doing, you know, great things. You know, this is like a key building block that you, James, have talked about a lot, that the physics that they're teaching is bogus, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, and you can produce a frequency generator that can give you a very strong effect for under $50, you know? Like, I've been experimenting with a lot of these things, and even a 9-volt battery, I had a very intense experience with the powered pyramid, and that was just with a 9-volt battery. So you can imagine if you scaled that up to a HARP level, like, wow, you could really do some stuff, huh?
Yes, yes. And I suppose what you just described, it means a scale invariant, because if you get that kind of effect from the output of a 9-volt battery, and then if you scaled it up, maybe even created arrays of these things, I don't know how it works, if you just need one and a power source, and then you amplify the power source, or if you spread it around, so to speak. You mentioned earlier that it was non-local in nature, and you mentioned the quantum entanglement aspect. So what is the potential of this? If you scale it up from like what you described, like a smallish pyramid and worked up, it's what is the potential? How far can we go with this?
Well, I mean, basically these you know, source field energies, they are healing, but because you're tapping into such a basic building block of reality, it can be used for good or bad. But let's say that you use a pyramid shape, right? This is one thing that we are not taught in school, and even advanced engineers, right, are not taught about what they call shape power, right? So some geometries actually can produce a field effect and can produce these torsionic spinning vortex energies. You know, and now if you got a contract with Boeing or one of these military contractors, they might take you aside and say, okay, now we're going to teach you the real physics. But the Russians, they call the power of geometry torsion field,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can have something that's only made out of tubing, make it into a golden ratio pyramid or a pyramid shape. And by the mere fact that it's in a pyramid shape, you know, not even with connected sides, just with tubing, you're going to start producing scalar waves or torsion field. And this can do things like you put anything inside it, it will amplify the signal because basically a pyramid is like a speaker cone. Okay, so any cone shape is an amplifier. And if you put, say, organite material in it, right, which is a combination of quartz crystal, metal particles, and plastic resin, that in itself is a passive scalar generator. But if you put it, if you make it into a pyramid shape, you're getting a double effect because it's just like putting that in a speaker cone. It's going to amplify the signal, okay? And anything that's put in a pyramid shape, because it's this scalar energy, this torsion field energy is very healing, you will get effects like lowering radiation. If it's scaled up to a big enough size, you will actually calm the weather patterns in the area. And the Russians have done this. There was a guy, Alexander Golod. I believe he was Ukrainian. And the Russians built a series of pyramids, several hundred meters high, I think, around Eastern Europe. What's interesting is this Alexander Golod, he was a military contractor. So what does that tell you? Yes. Right? But the other things that they noticed were it amplifies the homeopathic effect of – so I have heard – now, I don't have confirmation from this, but I have heard that before they send up, say, aspirin or, you know, whatever medication, they will actually charge the drugs inside pyramids before setting them up because the radiation and the solar wind is so intense up there that they would just become ineffective. So they actually charge these medicines before they send them up. The Russians, they also put some basic foodstuffs like salt and pepper inside these pyramids. And then they gave them to the prison population, and they noted that the incidence of violence dropped. So many interesting effects, and this all goes to the fact that this source field, it's a very coherent energy. You know, there's coherence where things start moving in a wave form together, and then you have incoherence or entropy where things are breaking down, right? So I work a lot with organite pyramids. And this organite material, again, it's a quartz crystal, metal particles or metal shavings, and resin. This is almost like, James, it's very powerful, but this is like very crude, actually, when you think about it. And it sounds crazy that just throwing these materials together would have a positive effect, but it does. And the reason is that the combination of materials in conjunction with, especially if you put it in a pyramid shape, it's a passive scalar generator. So when you have a high scalar potential or this high energy field around you, say you put a pyramid on your bedstand, right? Normally people are sleeping with the Wi-Fi on, which is like a mini cell phone tower in your house. They may have a smart meter nearby, which is equivalent of 160 cell phones, and it also dirties the electrical wiring in your house, okay? They're sleeping with the cell phone on right next to their head, and it's pinging all night. So, and then you have the regular cell phone towers in the neighborhood. So over the course of time, you know, people are – they're just not getting – the proper sleep that they should. It's invisible, yet everybody's more irritable. Their mood isn't as good. And it's because you're getting hammered all night by these incoherent frequencies, right? They're anti-biological. And the way that I easily explain of, you know, how would you know, a organite pyramid change this? How would it neutralize or harmonize the energy in your space? Would be, you know, I DJed for many years and I was in the rave scene, right? So anybody that's gone to a party, you know that if they're cranking the music and there's distortion in the line, it's red on the mixer, right? Your ears are going to be hammered in like 5 minutes. And that's because there's distortion somewhere in the chain, right? And it's coming out of the speakers, and those sound waves have jaggies in them, right? Well, this is exactly the same with Wi-Fi and all these, you know, cell phone signals, is they're incoherent. So it's not like the organite or any of these other energy tools block these waves. But what they do is they kind of smooth them out and harmonize them. And, mm-hmm. and when the waves pass through your body, you're not getting hammered as much, you know? So it is very interesting, and, you know, some of the things that the effects of this electrosmog, right, they call, or the electromagnetic pollution or stress, right? And especially in the big cities, people know that when you go out to the countryside, somehow they feel, you know, more free. They're not as stressed. Well, it's because you're not under so many overlapping signals, right? You're not getting hammered by a million Wi-Fi, you know, units and cell phone towers, right? And, you know, head fog. And, you know, these kind of things, they won't lead to serious problems in the short term. But, you know, logically, just in the mere fact that you're not getting full sleep day after day, week after week, month after month, and, you know, going on years, lowered immune system can, you know, lead to serious health problems later. So the good thing is we have the tools to mitigate and neutralize these problems now. And, you know, the organite pyramids are one. I learned about the tensor rings, right? They're these typically copper rings, cut in a sacred geometrical length and welded together. Tensor rings, very good energy tools. There's a lot of options out there now. But basically, at this point, I don't think we have to be in a fear mode, right? Because we are being hammered from many directions. But there is a kind of a universal law that for every action, there's a counteraction, right? But it's up to you to do the footwork and the homework to figure out, you know, what those solutions are. So I think we're living in an interesting time because we have almost unlimited possibility in the information that we're getting. But now it's really to hone in and find those solutions, you know.
Yes, people really need to unplug from mm-hmm. the mainstream because of the malign influence of big money influencing, corrupting academia, corrupting and guiding the media narrative, the bogus science we spoke of earlier. Everything is completely topsy-turvy these days, where they believe that things like mercury and aluminium and aborted fetal tissue and vaccines is somehow good for us, when it's not even anecdotal evidence. Time and time again, we see the dreadful consequences of humans, particularly children, being injected by dangerous vaccines. But because of the bullfrogs chorus of the media, of the bought and paid for medical system, academia, and the shaming and the guilting that society at large imposes on so-called anti-vaxxers. They had to create a term for them, like the isolationist was a term created by British intelligence in World War II in order to shame and guilt and humiliate those who did not want the United States to be dragged into another European war. Oh, those are isolationists. And to this day, that term is still used by so-called historians. It's amazing how it's passed into language. And so we see the same thing with science being stood on its head, people go along with the establishment narrative. What we need to do, as you pointed out, is unplug from that and go where one spirit moves them. We now have the means with the World Wide Web to seek out any kind of information we want. And we here at the Cosmic Switchboard, we're really into wellness, longevity, healing, reintegration as a basis for dismantling this entire wretched paradigm, because it starts with the first circle. It starts with ourselves.
Well, you know, James, I've actually not been working with the Organite Pyramids that long. I think it's been like maybe 3+ years. But in that time, I've consulted, you know, I'm in Los Angeles, and I've consulted with some names that would be well recognized by the public. And you would be surprised who's into the whole subject of pyramids and esoteric energies. I mean, the people that are very influential and have a lot of power, they are highly interested in these things. So if you're only like, you know, watching the Super Bowl and drinking your beer, you're missing out with the people that are very powerful in this world. They're highly interested in these kinds of things, you know, and I've been in their houses, and I can assure you they are not drinking tap water. They have the most expensive filtration systems. Like, they're very much into these kinds of things.
Yes, and I've spoken to people who have gone out, Misaki, and either built these pyramids made out of tubing or otherwise acquired them, and they've slept beneath these pyramids. They've told me amazing things. They told me about, like, for example, increased plant growth, where they would put their herbs and their plants beneath this pyramid, and sometimes they had to stop doing it because they started growing too fast, right?
Well, you know, I did a plant experiment, but before I get to that, I want to tell you the effect that working with Organite Pyramids had on me. Okay, so definitely, you know, I've been working with these Organite Pyramids, which are you could say they're energy harmonizers. You know, if you have them in the house, not only will you have a change in mood, but you're going to get better sleep and so forth. Those are the obvious surface level effects, right? But I really felt my life change. I had been making the pyramids, but my real inspiration was George Rieschel, who's a German expat. He lives in South Africa now, in Johannesburg. He has a company called Organize Africa, and he's been, you know, one of the leading voices and longtime proponents of Organite. You know, I had talked to him, and when I did an interview with him, I really felt my life change, because it was the mental liberation. Okay? And this is something also that I teach in my energy work classes. It's very important for us to own our space. You know? Well, you know, somewhere, you know, maybe in the next room or down the block, people can do what they want to do. But in your physical space and your energetic space, you should have domain. This is like your sovereign space, right?
Yes.
And, you know, for many of us, and I'm sure many of your listeners, we've been looking into these topics, some of them very dark topics, for many years. We know it's wrong, but then the question comes, well, how do you as one person affect a change, a concrete change, right? Well, with Organite, again, it's very simple, you know, but when I make an Organite pyramid and I send it out and I get the feedback, wow, I'm getting better sleep, I notice a difference, I can say to myself, I did something with my bare hands, I sent it out, and I got a positive response. That's real. You know, and for me, it was very liberating and freeing, and it finally got me out. You know, not that I was fearful, but really, you have to be honest with yourself. If you're realistic about what's going on in the world today, and you're not taking some kind of positive steps to improve your life or maintain your space, you are in a kind of a fear mentality, whether you realize it or not. But when you start to actually take a concrete step on some kind of subconscious level, you start raising your frequency and getting out from under the foot of these archontic forces in this world. So that was very liberating to me, you know, expanding your positive energetic space is very basic, but very powerful. And the second thing is too, James, the kind of topics that we are interested in, very difficult to explain or even talk to people these days, right? Even on the basic political level, not even getting to the deeper, you know, conspiracy or ET levels, the average person, they haven't done the 10 plus years of study, right, that many of us have done. They haven't seen the things that we've seen. But it's not that they're bad people, but they just don't have the understanding, right? So you get a few sentences into a conversation and the wall comes down, right? Oh, you're a Republican, you're a Democrat, you're liberal, you're conservative, and so forth. So it's very difficult to work with people or have some kind of connection. But if you get around the mental biases by shooting to the energetic layer,
yes,
and say, hey, you know what? Why don't you try out this pyramid? Just put it on your bedstand. Or, you know, I heard about this crazy stuff called Orgonite. You know, maybe you should try it out. Next day, they say, wow, you know, it's really strange, but I'm feeling more refreshed, you know? And there's no ideological block, right? And people can come to an energy tool, whether it's the tensor rings or the Orgonite pyramids, or even, you know, there's a million ways you can go about getting this high energy in your space. But they can come to it in their own way and still get a positive benefit. You may even totally disagree with them, but still, the frequency of the planet is being raised because somebody out there is getting a positive effect. So, again, when I started working with the pyramids, it was not only physically liberating, but there was kind of a spiritual liberation too, you know. So that's – I just wanted to put that out there because a lot of people talk about, you know, you got to protect yourself from the electromagnetic and this and that, but it's not often talked about that, you know, freeing your spirit. I think that's even more significant, you know. Yes. No more fear-based mentality.
No more fear-based. The ability to look at what's going on around us, see the levels and the hidden levers of control, but look at it in a detached, non-fearful manner. That is key, because when we begin to resonate at that fear and or rage level, and some of us, we have a stripe of righteous indignation down our backs a mile wide. I mean, in my case, I used to just become livid when I would think about all this, and correspondingly, my vibe would get lower, and it would be easier to mess with me, easier to manipulate me, easier to set me off, right? And I realized I had to unplug at a certain level. By coming up with this means, a very practical means that everybody can avail themselves of, i.e. the Orgonite, i.e. the Orgonite pyramids, we begin to, as my friend Ben Light says, we begin to stream in our higher consciousness. We begin to tap into that. And even if these people that are turned on to this capability do this unwittingly, right,
mm-hmm.
That's still good, because then they begin to become embodied again. They begin to ground themselves. They begin to plug back into source. And their thinking becomes clearer. They're more stable. They're not as prone to emotional outbursts, so on and so forth. So I really like that term that my friend uses, Ben Light. He says, I'm trying to remember the exact term, but he says something to the effect that when you raise your own vibration enough, and you get around other people, and also certain sacred sites and or organized service function, people sometimes wind up inadvertently streaming, to use an internet term, streaming their higher consciousness.
Well, you know, the other thing is I knew about, you know, the healing technology such as the Rife machine. I've heard about these things for years, the whole Tesla energy and ether physics. But it just didn't really seem, not that I totally dismissed it, but it just didn't hit me, you know? And I think there really is something about your frequency, your personal frequency, because the more and more that I work with them, and this came after at least 10 years of working every day in the holistic field, right? Finally, I started working with energy tools. And after maybe a year into working with not only the organite pyramids, but I started to venturing into powered devices, powered frequency generators, it's like my consciousness just exploded. I mean, I already knew a lot, but I think that if somebody is not at a certain frequency level, you can mouth the words, but they will totally not understand what you're talking about. But if you raise their frequency, even if you secretly put a pyramid, you know, hide it under their bed or put it in their bedstand. I'm serious, James, because me myself, you know, okay, I'm no dummy, but even I didn't really get it until my I really feel that my consciousness shifted because I have so many of these energy tools in my space. It's like now my thinking, like a year or two after, you know, seriously getting into it, it's totally opened up to another level.
Well, what I've noticed, I use a device called the GeoCleanse Harmonizer. Mm-hmm. It's a rectangular slab of organite, and I don't know if it makes a difference or not, but it's plugged into a power source. And mm-hmm. I remember on one occasion, I walked into the front door and I immediately felt this electromagnetic pollution. I felt it clinging onto my skin. I mean, mm-hmm. I felt it coming in from all sides, and basically I had the sensation of being smothered by it. And I knew instantly that somehow the GeoCleanse Harmonizer, i.e. this orgone device, had been unplugged. So I went into the room, you know, for a small size, medium sized house, mm-hmm. all you really need is one. And I went in there, sure enough, somehow this device had been unplugged. The moment I plugged it back in, all that electromagnetic smog and pollution was instantaneously gone. And people tell me over and over when they visit that they love the energy here. The energy is very vibey. The energy is very uplifting and very, mm-hmm. Very harmonizing. And it has to do, at least in part, to that GeoCleanse Harmonizer. So I can vouch personally for the beneficial effects of orgone. So one thing I'd like you to comment on, mm-hmm. We have time in this first hour. You mentioned also sometimes, and others have mentioned this too, that some of these orgone devices can enhance one's dream state, induce mm-hmm. vivid dreaming, even enhance not just stamina and a sense of well-being, but also in some cases enhance one's psi abilities. Can you comment on that?
Yeah. Now, I'm around so many pyramids now, it's difficult for me to tell the effect just of a passive pyramid, but I also work with power devices, right? So that's basically magnitudes of scale greater than just a passive organite pyramid. The power devices, James, there is no doubt that the dreams become very vivid. So one of the first times I contacted you, I told you my story because it tripped me out. Okay. So basically, you can produce a strong zero point effect with just a coil, okay, sort of a Mobius coil that's in a helix shape, okay? Like imagine you have a wire, right, like a straight wire. Then you bend it, so it's a U shape, right? It goes up long one side, hits the top, it's a U, and it comes back down, right? You take that U shape and you twist it, so now it's a helix, right, with one loop on the end. If you run a current through it, okay, it'll go up one side, kind of corkscrew up, hit the top, that loop, then it'll come back down and corkscrew down, right? What happens is when you run electricity through a wire, it also has a magnetic field around it, right? So when that current goes, it corkscrews up, hits the end, and the corkscrews down, it basically goes against itself, you know? So that's that cancellation effect. And if you pair that with a kind of a pulse, a square wave pulse or a timer, you can basically create a scalar wave at a certain frequency. So the frequency I had it set to, it's a very common preset. It's if you look online, I think it's a 555 timer, a very common chip. The 15 hertz is it's a brainwave. I believe it's a beta brainwave frequency, and it's a meditation, clear thinking frequency. So if you have, and now I had this coil wrapped around a quartz crystal because quartz is an amplifier, and I had it cast inside a pyramid shape. So not only was I getting a strong field effect wrapped around the quartz crystal, which is the amplifier, but again, I had it in that pyramid shape, which is like a speaker cone, right? So it was that thing was screaming. It was powerful. I ran it for about 5 days before I turned it off. So ran it 24/7, right? Just to see what the effects would be. And okay, I'm not telling people to do this. I'm just telling you my experience, because by the end I was getting frequency fatigue, but I got at least maybe 6 months worth of ideas in 4 or 5 days.
Wow.
Yeah. And it took me about 2 weeks to process all the information, because I was doing research, I was saving links, I was looking into different topics about pyramids. It took me about 2 weeks to process what I had done in 4 or 5 days. And that was just because, again, if you're near a device that's creating this kind of field, now I had it set at a meditation frequency, right? So great for brainstorming, great for clear thinking, doing investigation. So my brain was in training to that 15 hertz. Right. Now, at night when I was sleeping, the dreams were very vivid, and I had dream recall for at least a half hour after I woke up. I did this because, one, you know, I'm selling some of these devices, so I needed to know what the effects are if somebody did run it 24/7, which I do not recommend, right? I recommend, you know, for brainstorming sessions, you can run it for a couple hours, or if you want to do a dream session, you can do that. But it's another thing to let it run for days on end, because it is artificial, and you will get what they call frequency fatigue. It's basically like you feel like you have a fever, right? But there's not many reports on what the effects are of doing this, so that's why I did it. You know, and the dream I had, I got very specific information about which frequencies to use and which pyramid shapes to use, which is, you know, this is really crazy because I'm not one to talk like this, but it happened. I mean, go check your email, James, because I sent you the whole story.
Yeah.
But it was weird because you always hear, you know, a lot of the inventors like Tesla and so forth, they got their information from dreams and visions, and that's kind of what happened to me, which was interesting.
Yes, people don't realize it, but in his full waking consciousness, Tesla would be able to see into what we would call other dimensions. He would see what some would refer to as guides mm-hmm. that would be showing him things in a holographic 3D sense, telling him things, pointing him in certain directions. It wasn't a simple case of him brainstorming and getting insights. He was tapping into other worlds and other dimensions. Mm-hmm. And hence he brought a lot of this with him into our world and applied it in a practical sense. What you remind me of, what you just described, the listeners may be familiar with a recent Bradley Cooper movie where I forget the title of it, but he was taking these pills, NZT pills, so-called, and they were giving him enhanced learning. The movie was called Limitless.
Oh, yeah, and, I remember.
Yeah, and pretty soon all these different black ops people and the mafia were after him, but there were some serious side effects to these pills. It would give him enhanced mm-hmm. learning and give him all this insight or allow him total recall from his past. But also there were some rather adverse side effects to it as well. Many of the people that were using it wound up dying, apparently. But anyway, the point of relevance is you pushed this power device to the limits to see what it would do. And then you wisely backed off, and then you took note of your condition, how you felt.
Well, James, the other thing I forgot to mention was this was all done on 9 volts. And that's not even plugged into an AC. This was a 9-volt battery.
Yes.
So I got that strong of an effect with just – but, you know, a lot of it's just based on understanding of simple geometry and this kind of shape power and the zero point. It's not – you know, they like you said, the scientists, they make it so complicated in a long-ass equation on a board, yet you can get these effects very easily. It's just yeah. they're not taught about it.
We're not taught. They try to mystify everything. And if it's a form of energy or a form of understanding or science, which is not taught by the universities, then they're going to ridicule it, they're going to rubbish it, they're going to debunk it. That's what they try to do, that's how they roll. The fact of the matter, as you pointed out at the outset, Masaki, is for countless millennia, the whole concept of the ether was well understood even by the common folk. One did not have to be a high priest, a high priestess, a seer, a mystic, a visionary, to understand, have at least an abstract understanding of what the ether is all about. And so what we found in the recent past, oh, I'd say as long as I've been in the field, 25 some odd years, there has been this trend, this movement back to an understanding of the ether and ether physics. So mm-hmm. I believe that what you've been talking about now will help us move in that direction, because everything you've described, Masaki, is something that we can apply on a practical basis. It's not going to break the bank in the process. It's not going to take a tremendous allocation of resources. It sounds to me like you went to an electronics store and picked up a few parts in order to make this device.
Yes, my soldering skills are they're a little shabby, but I was able to do this on my own. And it's really just basically your mind, opening up your mind. You know, your what did Jordan used to say? Your mind's like a parachute. It don't work if it's not open.
This is true. And the concept of sacred geometry, because what you're describing uh-huh. delves into aspects of sacred geometry. And I've been in a sacred stone circle site in the recent past, and uh-huh. and like I pointed out to people, we know that the emissions from mobile phones are harmful. Mm-hmm. They could have set the emissions, they could have set the frequency to any frequency they wanted as long as they made the thing work. They could have thrown us a bone and made it so that the emissions were actually beneficial to us. But of course, that's not how they roll. They set it up so that these emissions are harmful. But what's interesting is in the drive out to this sacred site, it was about 90 minutes, almost a two-hour drive out to the sacred site, that mobile phone was being charged up the whole time, and yet in a matter of moments, my friend was using that mobile phone to take pictures inside the sacred circle. Before too long, it was practically depleted of energy. So, again, it must be emphasized that what's being emitted by the mobile phones is bad energy. So just its very presence, the mobile phone's presence in this sacred stone circle site, caused it to leach out all this bad energy. That is the only way I could describe it. It was almost like the place was having an orgone-like effect on a digital mobile device.
Well, you know, one interesting thing is recently I was looking at an article about some Celtic or Scythian gold, how do you call it, like necklaces and gold wrappings that goes around people's wrists, right? They had a very similar look to the Tensor tools. They were kind of helix shapes that would wrap around a person's wrist. But because an archaeologist may never think to measure the length that these things were cut to, basically, if you cut a wire to a sacred geometrical length like the royal cubit they used in the megalithic sites, it's just a piece of copper wire, but once you cut it to a certain length, it starts resonating like an antenna to the universal cosmic energies. And if you wear that, your energy is going to be bumped up.
That's a very good point, because a lot of archaeologists and historians would look at, I forget the name that the Viking warriors and some of the Celtic warriors, the ornamental device where they would wear it in their upper bicep, wear it on their wrist, like you say. They were simply written off as merely ornamental devices. And then they would collect these rings, orcs or something, I forget the name of them. They would be given out kind of like medals for each heroic deed that a warrior had done. His chieftain says, oh, you've earned another one of these rings, right? So when one took a look at one of these warriors and noticed that he had rings up and down his arms, you knew that this guy was quite a warrior. He was a badass in that tribal warfare kind of scheme of things. What you've just pointed out tells me that there was an understanding amongst these tribes and these societies that, well, not only are these ornamental pieces jewelry, but they can perhaps enhance the abilities, the thinking, the clarity of these warriors as well.
Well, you know, I think some of the tools, like the tensor rings or the tensor coils, which Slim Sperling had invented, I guess he brought it back probably because we can see examples of them in the ancient world. I think some of these devices, which are they're usually copper wire, cut to a certain length and then welded, you know, in spiral shapes. If the grid were ever to go down, a powered organite device wouldn't work. But a tensor ring, because it's not powered, it's based purely on the geometry, you're still good to go.
Well, that's a very good point, Masaki. We're at the end of our first hour. You've been listening to my very special guest, Masaki Miyagawa, talking about, among other things, orgone power, scalar waves, and the practical application of scalar waves in our life and how we can use it to enhance our lives. We'll talk more about these subjects and other topics in our second hour.